Great. Our next case is Allstate Indemnity Company versus Twin Cities Diagnostic Center, file number 821-1116. As all parties aware, this is a Zoom hearing, but we are recording it. However, our rules prohibit anyone from any attorney or anyone watching this on Zoom or listening to this on Zoom from making their own recording. So please comply with that request and order. As all parties are aware, appellant will have 15 minutes for their argument in chief. Respondent will have 15 minutes. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Whenever counsel for the appellant is ready, you may begin and just tell us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
Thank you, Judge Connolly. This is Attorney Rick Stemple on behalf of appellant Allstate. And may it please the court, counsel. This is a case interpreting the application of Granger versus Adson and Isles Wellness to MRI, advanced image diagnostic imaging centers. And we were here before and we were sent back to do discovery. And the result of the discovery was that Twin Cities Diagnostic Center did, in fact, have a medical director. They actually had two or three, depending on the testimony over the life of Twin Cities Diagnostic Center. And they're all medical doctors specializing in radiology. So I'm submitting to the panel that this fact, which is undisputed, brings this case clearly within Granger versus Adson and Isles Wellness, because the owners of Twin Cities Diagnostic Center were three attorneys from South Florida. None of them had a degree or license in any healthcare field. So they're laypersons under Isles Wellness. They testified in their depositions. They researched Minnesota law. They thought they could do this. So they set up Twin Cities Diagnostic Center. So it's a knowing violation. And the fact they had a medical doctor under them that they were allegedly supervising the medical director duties, which under the IAC, which we have briefed, they were accredited under the IAC, are very specific and very demanding. And you have lay people over a medical director who's a medical doctor. And I just put it to the court that to me is Granger. I did the Isles Wellness case back in 2005 at the Court of Appeals and Supreme Court, and we had a couple trips up and down. But I think the important point here in the state of Minnesota, we want professionals who know what they're doing to run healthcare provider entities. We don't want lay people to be doing it. You look like you're going to ask a question.
It looks like your argument, as I understand it, focuses most on not sort of the technician sort of who can do the machinery, and then someone else does the evaluation, which at least according to Judge Jody in federal court thought that was fine. It seems to focus, am I correct, on, okay, what is this medical director doing and what he should be doing? Would that be a fair statement?
At least it's a significant part of the equation here, Judge. I don't know that it's the whole.
Fair enough. I mean, you've got the lawyers running it, and I get that. But, in the district court's order, it says, the medical director was not there on a daily or monthly basis, was not an employee, had no office, performed no MRI scans, never saw any patients. Is that finding supported by the evidence?
Yes.
So I guess the question I have, and I'll make it short, is, okay, maybe he, and I understand the standards suggest what the medical director should be doing, but if he's not doing anything, okay, that may be an issue for the medical director at the Board of Medicine, and maybe he gets in problems, and maybe TCDC gets into issues with hiring an absent medical director. My words, not anyone else's. But that's separate from whether or not the medical director is engaged in the practice of healing. And if he's not doing anything, whether he should or not, separate issue, why don't you lose? If he's not, if he is a medical director in name only, I'm whether he should be doing something or not, if he's not doing anything, how is he engaged in the practice of healing, which I think is the key issue for us?
No, and that's a great question. And here's my response. These medical directors were the radiologists that were interpreting the MRI scans. So they were, in fact, doing something for TCDC. They were using a PACS system, a picture archival computer system, where they can do the review of the MRI scans remotely. And they were cranking out their interpretation and sending what they felt the scans showed. And TCDC was submitting that to lawyers or whoever was requesting the scan, or if the person was represented. So these radiologists who were the medical directors were in fact very involved in the operation of TCDC as far as practicing healing.
Mr. Stemple, that's not my understanding. So maybe you can help me understand exactly what happened. As I understand it, the technician, I'll call him the imaging technician here in Minnesota, did the scans. A doctor said what part of the body should be scanned. And then the technician uploaded those scans and the radiologist read them. But it wasn't the defendant or the respondent who sent the results to the radiologist. The radiologist, or to the requesting physician, it was the radiologists themselves who sent it to whoever wanted the scans, and the radiologists billed for their own reading of the scans. My understanding is that the company here just did the imaging and billed just for the imaging, the taking of the pictures. Am I wrong? I just want to make sure I'm clear on the facts.
No, Judge Riley, you have an accurate understanding. Can I expand on that, though, please?
Please.
Before 144.1225 was enacted by the legislature, there was a number of MRI cases where we were trying to determine if CPMD applied to MRI or advanced diagnostic imaging. Those decisions were, I think, murky at best. They weren't really definitive. And then the legislature passes a statute that says you have to be accredited, which, in my opinion, is an attempt to make them more professional. I know when I argued Isles Wellness at the Supreme Court, there were quite a number of lay-owned MRI centers in the state at that time. Now there's very few. It's a handful. So it seems to me there's a step to make them more professional. And I would submit to you that while you're accurate in your understanding, you can have a Tal Qureshi. He's the MRI tech here in Minnesota while they're open. You can tell him to take a scan and he can take the scan. But if you don't have the interpretation, you essentially have nothing. So they go hand in hand. And these are the medical directors in a dual role as the medical director and the independent contractor radiologist. And you're right. They did review the scans and then issue an interpretation under their corporate radiologic name they had for being engaged in this activity. But I in our brief we submit the technical component versus professional component, that distinction doesn't matter because the Minnesota statute is based on MIPPA, and the whole idea is they go hand in hand. And
so counsel, can I ask, I'm sorry to interrupt, so my understanding is as I look at 144.1225, it talks about the physician at one part. It doesn't really say what the physician does, which is little. It says there must be provisions establishing the qualifications of the physician, but I haven't quite found what they say what the physician does in that statute. But then it also talks about accreditation, and I know that there are accreditation requirements. Is your understanding of the, that talked about a medical director and what the medical director must do. So your understanding of this framework is that every advanced diagnostic imaging service must have a medical director who must oversee interpretation of results, which is the practice of healing. Is that right? In other words, you cannot bifurcate the technical part from the interpretation. That's how you read the role of the medical director.
Correct. Even if you're using an independent contractor to do that, the accreditation standard requires the medical director to supervise the day-to-day operation, which would involve calibration of the MRI machine, the interpretation of the scans, and to supervise the medical physicist. And I don't know if your honors noticed that in the statute, but TCDC needed to have a medical physicist to make sure the machine was accurate in taking scans, and they did not have one.
Right. So there have to be standards for quality and routine maintenance or performance monitoring by a medical physicist. That seems to me maybe a different question. What I'm understanding you say is you cannot have standalone tech, that it is necessarily the practice of healing, even if it's just the provision of taking images, or you're saying, no, they must also oversee the interpretation of it in all cases in Minnesota.
I'm saying both, because if you look at Minnesota Statute 146.01, the practice of healing, our legislature has made the practice of healing extremely broad. It encompasses everything. And I think the key words are diagnosis and analysis of a patient's condition. And by taking that scan, the MRI tech has got to be taking an accurate scan so there is a proper diagnosis and a proper analysis. Then whether you have an in-house radiologist or an independent contractor radiologist, it's the medical director's responsibility under the accreditation standards to review that and make sure it's accurate. I don't know if your honor is familiar. MRI centers are supposed to take routine, what they call phantom scans, and those are supposed to be reviewed by a medical director as well. And that wasn't happening. So you basically, to go back to Judge Connolly's question, they weren't doing anything, which they should have, but we can set that aside. They're still practicing healing and practicing medicine in that they're taking these MRI scans that patients who have been in car accidents or work-related accidents need to have done accurately so they're getting the right diagnosis and the proper treatment. And that's just not the case the way it was set up.
My understanding also is that respondent was always accredited during the relevant time period.
They were, I think, the last few months they're open, Judge Riley. I think their accreditation lapsed in September, and they might have been in business a month or two after that. But otherwise, you are correct. So,
Mr. Stemple, I had another question. Assuming we agree with you that there has been a violation of the statute, or that there was a practice of healing, you know, I want to get to the intentional and knowing violation. You know, looking at the judge's order, you know, well, first of all, everyone agreed. Well, it's my understanding that since both parties moved for summary judgment, everyone agrees there are no material facts in dispute. The court then says, there are no material facts in dispute, and the undisputed evidence establishes that defendants did not knowingly or intentionally violate the CPMD. There's no Minnesota case law holding the act of taking an MRI case is subject to the CPMD. I guess if we were to reverse, wouldn't we still have to remand to determine whether or not there's been an intentional and knowing violation? The argument is, well, you know, they were lawyers and, you know, by God, you know, they should have known better. But why wouldn't we want to remand to get testimony on that to establish any defenses that the TCDC may have had?
You could certainly do that, Your Honor. I'm not going to argue that could be one of your options. But when I took the depositions of Carlos Fleitas and his sister and Mr. DePrimo, the attorneys that owned it, they said between them, at least two of them researched Minnesota law. They're all admitted to practice here in Minnesota at the time. They're members of the Minnesota Bar during the relevant time period and obtaining the accreditation. They made a determination they needed to be accredited. They chose IAC out of the three options. And then that's why they proceeded to get a medical director. So to me, it seems they knew exactly what they needed to do. They just didn't do it.
What about, do you agree that the individual attorneys, are not liable because this is an LLC. Do you agree with that?
I think for purposes of the case, there probably are not personally liable. At this point, it's a defunct entity, Your Honor. It's been defunct for some time. And they had a counterclaim against Allstate. And for approximately $25,000, if I believe, on scans that weren't paid because Allstate had taken the position it did. I don't want to say you can't get blood out of a turnip, but I'm going to say if we didn't have to pay for scans that were taken in violation of Minnesota law, Allstate would probably be very pleased with that outcome.
May I ask one question, Judge Connolly?
Please go right ahead, Judge Smith.
Mr. Stemple, you said they researched the law, they knew they needed to get accreditation, they pursued that, they hired a medical director. And they didn't do what they needed to do. Precisely that last part then. What didn't they do that they needed to do that makes you win this case?
They should have divested this business, Your Honor, because they should have known as laypersons. They were aware of Granger and Isles Wellness, and yet they chose to own a business that was practicing healing and engaged in a medical practice.
So even with a medical director, you're saying they need it. No layperson could own it.
Correct.
No layperson could own it.
Correct. Under Isles Wellness and Granger, Your Honor.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Stemple. You will have rebuttal. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Anna Cook, and I represent respondents Twin Cities Diagnostic Center, Peter DePrimo, Carlos Fleitas, and Katiana Fleitas in this appeal. Respondents request the court affirm the district court's order in all respects, which granted respondents' motion for summary judgment, denied appellant's motion for summary judgment, and dismissed appellant's claim against respondents with prejudice. This morning, I want to focus on two main areas. First, that the district court correctly held that TCDC's technical taking of an MRI scan does not constitute the practice of medicine. And number two, that the district court correctly determined that respondents did not knowingly or intentionally violate the CPMD. Now, appellants assume.
Can you answer for me? If our statute refers to the physician with respect to these entities and the accreditation requires a medical director, what is that physician for statute and medical director for the accreditation doing if not practicing the healing arts? There seemed to be a lot that was captured as administrative oversight. I'm not sure what that actually means and why there'd be a requirement for a physician if that physician wasn't supposed to do what we think physicians do.
Thank you, Your Honor. The district court found that the medical director was performing administrative tasks that involved monitoring the taking of the MRI scans. They were not an employee of TCDC, and they were not involved in the actual taking of the MRI scan. They supervised the technicians who did take such scans.
And do you think that's all that is required? In other words, is it your position that the medical director or the entity may well have been in violation of accreditation and maybe even 144.1225 by not having a physician doing what a physician is supposed to be doing? They weren't doing anything related to, or are you saying that's all that's required under there? Is a doctor supervises the technical taking of the image? That's all that the law requires and the accreditation requires, and that was all fine, but it's still not practicing healing.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes. CDC was accredited during all times. That is undisputed that they complied with 144.1225 here. The issue of whether they were accredited incorrectly was addressed in the first appeal, and the Court of Appeals in their 2020 order dismissed or affirmed the dismissal of appellant's claim that TCDC was accredited incorrectly or under false pretenses. So is
but that's different though. Well, first of all, that's a motion to dismiss. So, you know, we'll, I think Judge Smith hits it right on the head. I mean, as I look at the statute, you know, the medical director is, you know, is supposed to provide, you know, deal with standards for quality control and routine performance monitoring, you know, guidelines for personnel and patient safety, standards for initial and ongoing quality control. I mean, all of those things. Well, first of all, was your doctor doing any of those things, your medical director?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. I mean, it looks like in order to get accredited, you know, the medical director, you know, is in charge of sort of quality control, minimum standards of supervising clinical experience, guidelines for personnel and patient safety, that, you know, he's supposed to sort of, you know, my words, not anyone else's, oversee the technician and make sure, I don't know, that he knows to plug it in and, you know, turn it the right way up. And I mean, those things to me seem to be involving, what's the magic language? Healing, the practice of healing. Now, what's he supposed to do all those things? You're a medical director, as required by statute.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Did he do any of those things? It seems from the district court's order that, you know, he was kind of not doing much of anything. I mean, he was not there on a daily or monthly basis. You know, was not an employee, had no office, performed no MRI scans, never saw any patients. I mean, what does the evidence suggest that what was he doing? What was your medical director doing there? What did he do? What is the evidence that he was doing?
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, the district court's findings, I think, make clear that the medical director was not exercising any independent medical judgment here. And so he was monitoring and supervising the technical taking of these scans, but he himself was not practicing medicine. He did not take any scans. He did not interact with patients.
What did he do to ensure quality control? What did he do to ensure that this technician, you know, was doing, you know, running the machine correctly? What did he, do nothing?
Your Honor, the record reflects that he monitored and supervised that technician. And I think that's
to ensure quality control.
Yes.
Okay. Presumably we want medical directors overseeing these technicians because, you know, getting MRIs, that's a big deal. I mean, maybe you've got a tumor. And so we want the guy who's overseeing the technician to make sure, okay, you know, push this button, not that button. And if that's the case, it seems to me that is the practice of healing. And that's what the legislature wants. I mean, they want someone to kind of, okay, it's, you know, you got to make sure that things are going well so that when the scans go to the doctors, they can, you know, they read it based on the fact that the guy who's taking them, doing the scans is, you know, making sure he's pushing all the right buttons. And that seems to me to be the practice of healing. Now, is that not the practice of healing, engaging in quality control?
That is not the practice of healing.
Why not? Why not?
I think this goes back to the distinction between the technical side of taking the MRI scan and the professional interpretation of the scan.
Right, but my question goes to the person ensuring that the guy taking the scans knows what he's doing to make sure that the scans are done correctly. And why is that not the practice? I mean, I get it. The guy who runs the machine is not healing anybody. He's pushing buttons. But if you're supposed to have a medical director overseeing the guy who presses the buttons to make sure the right buttons are pressed, why isn't that engaging in the practice of healing? And I think that is the essence of Mr. Well, maybe I'm wrong. That's why Stemple is focusing on the medical director. So why what he's supposed to be doing is not medical hearing, whether apart from whether he's doing it or not, that's a separate issue. Why isn't what he's supposed to be doing medical or healing?
Right. So even though he is in the supervisory role, but he is still supervising the technical taking of the MRI. So the technician, as you correctly pointed out, he's pressing the buttons, taking the scan, and the medical director is supervising that this scan is technically done correctly. That's not exercising independent medical judgment about prescribing treatment for the patient, interpreting the scan.
So it seems to me that there's a different, I mean, I understand that Mr. Stemple is arguing you have to incorporate interpretation in there as well. You would disagree with that. And I'm not sure that the law or the accreditation tells us that. So if we even leave it with a technical part, you're basically saying that although a physician, words of the statute, medical director, words of accreditation are required, that person, while they have to be in that profession, is not at that moment exercise in that duty engaging in the practice of healing. They're doing something else. And I guess it's, I don't know, happenstance, or there's no other better type of credential or something, that they said, let's have a physician do this non-physician's work of supervising technician. I mean, it almost, and yet counter to that is, why would they pick a physician or a medical director if it's not the practice of healing? Why choose someone whose job it is to heal? To supervise. It's an odd choice otherwise.
I have a question about the meaning of the term medical physicist that's in the statute. What is a medical physicist? Not a physician, not a medical doctor. I don't know what a medical physicist does.
Your Honor, I don't have that right in front of me at this moment. It's undisputed here that TCDC complied with all the IAC requirements set forth in the statute. Your Honor,
what is performance monitoring under the statute and the federal guidelines? What do you do when you are performance monitoring?
Your Honor, I don't think we have a clear record of that. But in this case, I think it goes back to.
Well, Mr. Stemple in his brief quotes the federal regs. It says the minimum level of supervision required being general supervision, defined as the procedure is furnished under the physician's overall direction and control. But the physician's presence is not required during the performance of the procedure, which goes in line with the fact that your guy was never there. But it seems like, you know, as Judge Smith ably pointed out, I mean, it must mean something. I mean, otherwise, you know, the lawyers could do it or I could do it, which I can't. So I want to make sure I understand your argument. Is your argument that there's the reason we should affirm is because whatever your medical doctor was required to do is not the practice of healing? Or is your argument that, well, maybe it is the practice of healing, but he wasn't doing it because he was never there, which could cause other problems for the medical director and other people, but still gets you. To still gets us to affirm this decision. Which one is it?
Your first position.
They're saying that whatever the standards require, that's not the practice of healing. Thank you.
Your Honors, with my time remaining, I'd like to briefly touch on the knowing and intentional requirement that even if you find that TCDC violated the CPMD by engaging in the practice of medicine, appellants cannot avoid paying for TCDC services without showing an intentional and knowing failure to abide with the law. And the Minnesota Supreme Court has made clear
Is that a fact question that requires the taking of testimony?
Your Honor, we've already gone through 7 months of discovery and gone through deposition testimony, and the district court found that the evidence is undisputed that there was no knowing violation of the CPMD.
Well, what if I understand the testimony is, you know, the lawyers looked at the law and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, what if they got the law wrong? Is that an intentional violation? And if so, do we then get into, well, you know, they did the best they could, and so maybe there's a defense of, you know, no bad faith or, you know, I was trying to do my job. And believe me, I would not be interested in prolonging litigation because, you know, with any luck, then we could see you a third time. But it seems to me that if we agree that the law applies and the facts are that, hey, they thought they got the law right, but we think you got it wrong, doesn't there have to be some testimony or some finding that, hey, even though they thought they got the law wrong, but they thought they were right. So does that go to whether there's an intentional violation or not, which requires kind of more evidence?
No, Your Honor. There's been extensive testimony here.
So we would just reverse that and say they got the law wrong. It was an intentional violation. And then the only issue is, well, I guess there's no issue that they're not personally liable, but we would reverse on that as well. You really want us to do that? If we are going to reverse?
Can you repeat your question?
Yes. Let's say for the sake of argument, we think they did engage in the practice of healing. Okay. What I'm saying is, even if that's the case, then I'm not so sure. Well, let me just ask you. Let's say we disagree with you and the district court that this medical director was engaged in the practice of healing. Does that necessarily require us to then, in turn, as a matter of law, reverse the decision as to an intentional violation?
No, it wouldn't.
Okay, why not? So we would remand it for testimony and, you know, some evidence of bad faith, you know, more evidence of, well, you know, we tried to do it and, you know, I went to Westlaw a million times and this is the best I came up with.
The court inherently has the authority to remand for additional testimony, but I maintain that additional testimony is not needed here because that has been addressed by the district court, and we have had 7 months of testimony and discovery in this case.
So your position is even if they were wrong, there was insufficient evidence, I mean, to even create a material fact about whether they knew they were wrong. Is that right? So we have to affirm on the basis that as a matter that it's undisputed that they did not know, that they had no actual knowledge. That's your position. Even if they are wrong about it, they had no actual knowledge they are wrong based on the evidence. And I think the question is, I don't know, does someone's actual knowledge, there might be a dispute, I think, which is, I don't know, based on plain reading of the statute, how could they not have known? And someone, a fact finder needs to decide that their sheer statement that they didn't know isn't enough. I think it's sort of a challenging thing to get in what's someone's mind based on undisputed evidence like that.
Correct. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Cook, we've kind of grilled you a lot, so I'll give you an extra minute or so to sum up your final reasons why we should affirm.
Thank you, Your Honor. As we've discussed here today, the court should affirm the district court's holding that TCDC was not engaged in the practice of medicine. They did not violate the CPMD. And likewise, there was no knowing and intentional violation of the CPMD. I ask the court to affirm the district court's order in all respects.
Thank you. Mr. Stemple, you'll have the last word, sir.
All righty. Thank you, Judge Conley. I'd like to answer Judge Riley's question about what a medical physicist is. A medical physicist under the IAC guidelines is typically and supposed to be a physician, meaning a medical doctor. Could also be, in the right or proper case, a physicist, but they need to have specific training and credentialing in advanced diagnostic imaging. So it's not just somebody walking in off the street. Just like you said, Judge Conley, you and I can't be taking MRI scans because we'd probably get the positioning wrong. We wouldn't know what we're doing. And that's why even what the MRI tech is doing at TCDC is engaging in the practice of healing. They need to know what they're doing to set that machine, to make sure it's calibrated and take the right body part as far as a scan. Because as you pointed out, these scans need to be accurate. People could have cancer. They could have some kind of disease going on, and that could be accounting for their pain, even if they're there because of an auto accident or a work comp injury. I just want to point out what it says right in 146.01. It says the diagnosis, analysis, treatment, correction, or cure of any disease, injury, defect, deformity, infirmity, ailment, or affliction of human beings. I mean, that practice of healing, it's my position, the legislature made that as broad as can be. So for these lay owners to say, oh, we researched it and we knew we were well aware of Minnesota statute 144.1225. We knew there had to be a medical director. It had to be a physician. There's no dispute. They knew it needed to be a medical doctor and they still went ahead. So I hope I've answered Judge Riley's question of what a medical physicist is. It's somebody that's important to the calibration and operation of the MRI machine.
And I think I heard you say, Mr. Stemple, but clarify this. Is an MD required to be a medical physicist?
That's what they mean by physician in the IAC guidelines. And the owners, when I deposed them, did not dispute that. They said our understanding was physician.
If a medical physicist requires a medical degree, are you saying that? I didn't quite clearly understand what you're saying.
In the guidelines, I believe it says it will typically be a medical doctor, but it can also be a physicist who is specifically trained in advanced imaging.
Gotcha. Thank you.
But they still need to be supervised by a medical doctor. So I don't think they can have their cake and eat it too on this one. You're either practicing healing and in violation of Granger and Isles Wellness and the corporate practice of medicine doctrine, or you're not. And they're still seeming to push.
What about the middle issue, which is they should have been, you know, what the medical director should have been doing is practice of healing, i.e. for all the reasons we talked about, but he wasn't. Because he was never there. So if he's not doing what he's supposed to do, he's not practicing engaging in the practice of healing. Therefore, he may be in trouble with the board. And, you know, I don't know, maybe these lawyers could be prosecuted for, you know, whatever you can be prosecuted, but they didn't violate this statute. They're in other sorts of trouble. But since they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, they were not, you know, I mean, like, if I'm a doctor and, you know, well, then I'm engaging in the practice of healing. But if I never see patients, you know, I'm not violating anything because I'm not ever doing anything. So what about that escape clause?
Well, I don't think it is an escape clause, Judge Conley, because remember, these medical directors were the interpreting radiologists. So they are actually interpreting the scans. So they're doing something, but they're not engaged in any of the supervisory duties. And I think that totally contravenes what the legislature intended by passing the statute. It's to make MRI centers more professional, to make sure that Minnesotans are getting the proper care and diagnosis they should. And if we just let lay people own them and ignore what the accreditation standards are, then we've just basically written off the statute. And I guess that's my problem with where we got here. And hopefully you won't see us a third time. But that's the problem I have is, you know, all this, when I've argued these corporate practice of medicine cases, it's to make Minnesota, we're a healthcare state. We're known for our healthcare industry and our medical school, our dental school. By golly, let's have them be the best they can be and the best in the nation. That's what our citizens deserve. And to let lay people own something as important as an MRI center and mismanage it, misrun it, I think that goes totally against the legislative intent in enacting the statute, which they were very well aware of and still went ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Stemple. We will issue our opinion within 90 days. Thank you, Ms. Koch.